Matthew 16, you ready? Come on, verse 13. And then Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So people oftentimes have very varied opinions when there is no revelation. And so they call it the move. You know, sometimes you have to say, that's the move of God for now. See, truth is always constant. In other words, the move of God for now is salvation. Next year is going to be restoration. You know, what we call move is just an awareness. It's not God moving, it's men moving. Moving to know truth. But in this instance, there was a confusion about who Jesus was. And it was not unexpected. And because the truth is, how do you know Jesus? By signs and wonders. Because you've had people that come to Israel before him. Someone led Israel by the name of Moses, who was known for mighty signs and wonders. You had Elijah and Elisha. And you had other folks like that. And so, if he worked miracles, then they had to look for something similar to him. And so they said, maybe it's Elijah. Maybe it's John the Baptist. That's the craziest of them, because I felt John was beheaded and they all saw it. But then somehow people have ways they believe things. So sometimes not out of place. You know, there are two people, there are people today that believe that eternal life is not really everlasting. So, you know, I kind of guess it happens. Right? So if you find people think this is John the Baptist, then not out of place. It's Elijah. And others say Jeremiah because he cried. I guess so. And then say, or one of the prophets. Then he turned to his own people. And that's truth. The truth is there's nobody will know Christ by signs and wonders. Christ will do signs and wonders. We're going to see signs and wonders at this conference. But see, Christ is not known by those things. He's not even known by what he did. Can see that he's not even known by what he taught. He taught so much that even the unsaved listened to him for 3 days. So he wasn't even known by what he taught. He wasn't known by what he did. So he now turned to his own folks. You know, he turned to his own disciples, the apostles. And he says, now who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And just as he asked that kind of question, everybody went quiet. Who do you say? Then Peter, they stepped up. I believe he just wanted to say something. And you see, there's something about taking an action of faith. Well, I can do that. You know, and then he stepped forward. And then he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said that about Jesus. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And pay attention here. Then Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bajoda. He says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. In other words, you did not come to know this by experience. You didn't come to know this because you sat around me and you were around me. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed. Now, Jesus uses a word here. He says revealed. The word revealed means to uncover. In other words, what did you uncover? You uncovered flesh and blood. You took off flesh and blood. You got rid of that. You looked away from that. The flesh and blood or experience has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I want you to pay very good attention to that. He says, my Father revealed it to you. In other words, he says, this is spiritual in nature. My Father revealed this to you. Christ would never be known by scientific debate. He wouldn't be found out by arguing with people. Hear that well. He wouldn't be known by a lot of historical, archaeological discoveries. He wouldn't even be known by several trips to Jerusalem. Come on now. You get a JP. Hello. He won't be known because you go up to someone and say, I just found myself now at the very, very grave of Christ. I said, and you told me. No, he says, no. Sir, I'm not saying there's anything about it. I just wanted to tell you. He ran away quickly. No, he's not known by those strips. He's not known by anything like that. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So the Father reveals the Son. The Father reveals the Son. Now, if you had read John 1:18, it says that no man had seen God at any time, but the Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So the Son declares the Father, and the Father declares the Son. In other words, it's the same revelation. The moment you know the Son, you will know the Father. The moment you know the Father, you will know the Son. All right? So he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now listen carefully now. This shows that it was a supernatural discovery. The reason why it was a supernatural discovery was because it is a supernatural relationship. You do not know the supernatural from the natural. You do not contact the supernatural from the natural. You don't get to know that. You know, we're going to explore that tomorrow morning. You know, just get ready for some study. But we're going to do that, but tomorrow morning. So it's a supernatural relationship. Now, when he said that, listen carefully now. The next thing he says, he now says, look, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, that's the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever things that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever things that you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, listen carefully now. By saying that knowing who I am is by revelation, that means everything Jesus will do based on that will only be known by revelation. So all the statements he made after, upon this rock, I will build my church. There are truths in that revelation. And it says, the gates of hell, he says, shall not prevail against it. Against what? It's not against the church. That's even too small. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my building my church. We're going to see the relevance of that in a moment. He says, shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. And then some folks think that what he's saying is that say Christ is building his church. He's building his church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. He has been building it for 2,000 years. How big is the building? Is it a skyscraper? The word he uses there is the word oikodomi in the Greek. It means to found something, to establish. I will establish my church. Now, the word church is the word ecclesia. It means to call out. There are two words in there. The word ek, E-K, and then K-A-L-E-O, kaleo and ek. It means I will call out of. Listen carefully now. Now, by saying I will build my church and the gates of hell, by saying, I will build my church, I will found my church, and the gates of hell, that means I'm going to call out people, right now, carefully now, I'm going to call people out. The calling them out is my building my church. And the fact that I could call them out is a proof that the gates of hell did not prevail. Not a continual building. So the gates of hell shall not prevail, shall not prevail. You know, we like to sing in the present tense what is past tense. It's just a delight. You know, it's just a delight. Lord, prepare me. Sanctuary. And those are the songs that move you the most. The ones that seem to be scriptural look motionless. Like, I want something that will make me feel there's something. Pure and holy. Tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Let's assume that it's a prayer. How many years would you say, Lord, prepare me? What are they preparing? That you sang it yesterday, today you sang it again. Then whoever is preparing it needs to be skillful. Because if I give you a job in my office, say, please prepare me a sanctuary. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Like we say in Pentecostal circles, 2,000 years ago. When I got born again, it was 2,000 years ago. It is still 2,000 years ago. Very constant truth. It's a rev. You know, I will build my church. Because we put that statement in the future tense, a major truth was lost. Every time we misunderstand the scriptures, a major truth is not discovered. I will build my church, he says. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell. Now, when you use the word prevail, it's, you know, there's a word in the Greek called istuo. Istuo is to exhibit your strength. Where you use physical force. Display strength. Then he uses the word katachuo, which is against strength. That is, now by saying, I will build my church. That ability. I will build my church. Then he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen carefully. That means it will not stop me. Are you getting that? So the ability is from me building the church. The gates of hell is to prevent that ability. Katachu, that is against ability. So he's saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevent it. So it's not a battle. Hear this well. The gates of hell will not prevail. By saying that, when it says the gates of hell, not because of the way we use hell today, Peter and the audience knew Jesus was talking about his death. The gates of death, or the gates of Hades, H-A-D-E-S, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Is she clear? Come on, we'll follow this. And the gates of Hades shall not prevent it. In other words, Jesus begins to speak about his death. So his death was the issue. Now, if you notice, Peter was not paying attention. Probably the other ones. So the gates of hell shall not prevail. By saying that, Jesus speaks already of his resurrection. And I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, or is bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth, he's already losing heaven. So everything Jesus spoke about are supernatural events. You don't know them by experience. However, when you know them, they will produce experiences. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, this is a supernatural event. And a supernatural event is non-supernatural. You know, Peter didn't get it. That's why, as he said that, because notice this. There was a progressive revelation. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Present tense. Then Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, that is, you are blessed by that revelation. Now, I'm going to show you something you have not seen. I will build my church. Now, when it says, I'll build my church, I'll just say this quickly. Jesus was introducing Peter to a church of sons. You just called me a son. So I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not, cannot, will not prevent this. And then Peter went up. I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatever things you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth is loose in heaven. As he said that, Peter just said, okay, fine. Glory. Then in verse 21, from that time forth, Matthew 16, 21, Jesus showed them, his disciples now, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. What a group. Elders, chief priests, scribes. Not one group. Elders, chief priests, scribes. And be killed. And be raised again the third day. He said, I'll be killed. As he said that, Peter took him, feeling cool from the verse 16 encounter. He said, man of God, what's going on? And that's what he said. He said, be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be on you. He began to rebuke him. Now, the word rebuke is a strong word. It wasn't just cajoling Jesus. He was instructing him. There are folks like that. He said, well, I studied some about Jesus. The word killed is used in 8 places. It means to remove from life. Go and study. This shall be known unto you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Because by saying this shouldn't be unto you, Peter was, in other words, showing unbelief to everything Jesus said. Because he said, I will build my church. By saying you won't die, it simply means you won't build your church. So he says, get behind me, Satan. So what this? Peter moved from the spirit to the flesh. He got emotional. He moved to the flesh. He moved from the supernatural to the natural. And so, watch this one. I said earlier that everything Jesus spoke about were supernatural events. And because they were supernatural events, you will only know them supernaturally. So write this down if you're putting down something. That means the church will be known the same way. The church will not be known by doing public service. That's the real church! An unbeliever is saying that. Not just doing Bible study all over the place. And prayer. And praying for the sick. The real church. It will care for society. You'll give out textbooks. Biro. Biro is pen in Nigeria. Biro. If I say Biro to you, it's an original word. The real church, they will organize women empowerment summit. Yes, the real church. Where are the churches? Just all over the place, preaching, doing evangelism. Real evangelism is your lifestyle. The person who is saying it will never receive the gospel. He's changing your gospel for you. Real evangelism is your lifestyle. In the office, you got there on time. You're very hardworking. That is evangelism. That's one that will win souls. An unbeliever is telling you how to win souls. Say the real church, let them arise. And tie the road to my house.
The church is known by the Father. Only the Father can reveal the Son. It's the Father that reveals the church. The church is not an organization that we will register with the government. No. What we register with the government is a human institution that we have to make use of. But the church is not registered with CAC. The church is registered in heaven. It's not a document that will say, we are the church. So we are the trustees of the body of Christ. So that nothing will go wrong. No. He says flesh and blood. People can come into a building and they don't belong to the church. They can. The church is known by the revelation of Jesus. Hear me? That's how you know the church. By the revelation of Christ. So don't say, well, some people have, they are complaining about the church. They are complaining that the church is not getting up to their responsibilities. Yes. Yes. For example, now, if the church adopts, every church on every street adopts a primary school. There are so many people that are in the ministry, but they should not be. They don't even know what it is. They think it's like a career. Doctor, lawyer, pastor. I put the lawyer in the middle for a purpose. He gave gifts unto me. He gave engineers who are now bankers. Some of you are laughing at yourself. Because you have done paralogizomai to everything you studied in school. He gave. You can't compare a pastor. Oh my God. How can you compare a pastor with a businessman? No! It's a supernatural office. It didn't come from a qualification of a school. It's a gift. It's a charisma. A doma. A merismos. A diaresis of diaconia. That's what it is. It's not a question of, we have many people in my family. They are doing very fine in their different professions. The guy is a lawyer, the guy is a pastor. Ah! And some guys think that's it. So they do church like CEO. Like CEO. You have a mistaken identity. A delusion of grandeur. It's a supernatural thing. See, Jesus was on earth. He taught men for 3 days. He worked miracles. They did not know who he was. Why? It's by revelation. John says, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the church is supernatural. Supernatural. And it's known by revelation. And so, watch this now. Jesus said, my Father revealed it to you. Said that to Peter. My Father revealed this to you. Why? Watch this now. Where was the Father? The Father was in him. The moment you see the Father, you see the Son. He said, the Father revealed this to you. He revealed this to you. Because the Father is not a visitor. No. The Father is in the church. He's not someone who comes Then you come to him too. We have come again. We have come again. Father, we have come again. Holy Ghost, come and take control. Amen. We have come again. Now, I don't blame people for singing songs like that. You can't sing beyond your local church. Why did you laugh? You can't sing beyond what you know. I heard Pastor Larry say at the beginning that when you sing anointing follow me, you are in disorder. It's only Pastor Larry that can say things like that. He gets away with it. You are in disorder. Why would you, born of God, say, I have come again? He didn't even say, I've come. He said, again. Like one errant troublemaker song.
Hey, he has come again, though.
We only came once!
Hallelujah.
Brethren, let's begin to worship Father as we have come to his presence. What is wrong with you now? Which presence? It's not presence, it's amper.
Hallelujah.
The writer of Hebrews, he was writing. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Writing to those who are yet to be convinced. He says, sing that we have a high priest passed to the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, hold fast that confession. That's not the believer. He said, come. He said, let us draw near. Hebrews 10:22-23. The heart full of faith. Draw near. Come. But when he wrote the Bible church, he said, you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. You are come. And so when he said, you are come, you know, in our mind, we think you are come means, let me show you. Have you observed that where he said you have come to, you are there? Say you have come to the church. Are you not in the church? So it's not that you have come. Hallelujah. That's where you are. He draws your attention to what you have become. So the church is known by revelation. You know, sometimes we can have a brother and a sister who are doing things that we don't expect believers to do. And we react in the flesh. Sometimes you get so angry. You get to the church, you have prepared a sermon for that brother and sister. And those brethren. After you have preached the sermon, you have given altar call for him to be saved. Then you say, you know yourself here. You were once a Christian. You accepted Christ into your life. But is that Christ still in your life? You know, you are the one getting angry. Check your life. See. Look deep down your heart. Why are you getting this angry? Look deep down your heart. If you look at your life and life of Jesus, are they the same? Weigh yourself, brethren. I know you are there. You can say you are in the choir. Or you are in the band. Or you are even a pastor. You know, sometimes people come on the pulpit to harass others. If one person is wrong, bring him aside and talk to him. Don't visit the iniquity of nobody upon everybody. Because by the time you start saying that, even those who don't know what you're talking about, they start saying, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? What this man is saying? He's true. He said, so you know you need to rededicate your life to Christ? Because if the trumpet should sound, where will you be? Next time when somebody tells you that, say, sir, where will you be? If he tells you, I'll be in Christ, answer him, says, I'll be in Christ. Say you are proud. Say we are both proud. Is your name in the book of life? Ask him. Is your own there? Hallelujah.
We have come to the church.
We have come to see ourselves as the church. That heavenly Jerusalem. That church of the firstborn. We have come to see it. Hallelujah. That's revelation. You see the church by revelation. And in the church, the Father is in the church. The Father is not a visitor. He's not a consultant for the church. Who says, so far, from what I can see, by my SWOT analysis, your strength so far is that you do a lot of evangelism. But your weakness is holiness. That's a consultant. Right? But the Father is in the family. I mean, imagine a father coming to his own family and say, why were you born like this? And then he looks at you. He says, monkey. You just say, oh, that's a revelation. Then the father says, revelation of who? Of you, sir. You just revealed yourself to me. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So the Father is not a consultant who comes around to check us out. Brethren, the Father is around. Say, sit down. Don't worry, thank you. I'm fine. Say, Father, where do you want to sit? Don't worry, I'll stay at the door. I'm just watching all of you. Then looks up, Jesus. Stop resting. This is not it at all. So what do we do, Father? I don't know. This is not it at all. See bandana. Sit down. Jericho. Trousers. Long hair. Is that not Asmodeus? Incubus and succubus. Bros, you have to come again.
No. The Father is in the family.
Hallelujah.
He's right in the family. So the moment you say the church is dirty,
you have included the Father. Because the Father is the founder of the family. And he's not an absentee father. Just guys, I'll see you next week. Hallelujah. You know that by revelation. You cannot know our relationship with God by experience. It's not by worship. That day I was also singing. I was singing. You know, some of us like singing. I like singing too. You are singing. And I was just singing. I was singing, you know, just like singing. See, I just felt the Father's love. That's who you are. That's who you are. Good, good Father. That's who you are. Experiential. You didn't get to the word to know it. You just heard a song. You don't know anything. You're like, who you are. Have you observed that if we sang the same song in Akbala, you may not like it? That's who you are, Baba. You won't like it. So really, it's the rhythm you are following. You are not particular about the word. It's who you are. At that point, you are feeling bad. You needed money. Good, good Father. Who you are. Somebody offends you in the office. So you see that you really don't know the Father. You are only carried away by music and emotions. A song is just nice. Bros, take the Holy Scriptures and know the Father. Because songs can come and go. I've noticed sometimes so some just move you for some weeks after a while.
This is a little song.
Whereas the person you are singing to doesn't change. So don't let experiences. And don't let people sing their experience and you sing it with them. I have made you too small. When I hear it, I say, He has made you too small in His eyes. You say, when our backs are against the wall, when his backs were against the wall, and he thought that it was over. I've never thought like that. When his back was against the wall, and he thought it was over, you made a way. Then I think, I will sing the words for myself. You move mountains, that's good. But you see, anybody can see his back is against the wall. See where I am. Is there any wall behind me? So don't sing people's experiences. You know the Father by revelation. Not in a mountain. Not in a song. But by revelation. And that's why we're in this conference. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, when Jesus was raised from the dead, what he expected us to see was not his resurrection. It's supposed to be our identification. Because he says, I will build my church. That's why the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1, 16 to 17, we're going to explore that tomorrow in the Sunday. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, where? In the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what they believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Then he says he had put all things under his feet and given head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul's prayer showed that Jesus succeeded at building his church. And just like Peter had to know Christ by revelation, I need to know what happened to me by revelation. That's what he said. That's what chapter 2 says. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the tree of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, time passed in the flesh, for we are no matter where nature, children, wrote in one of others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with a great love wherewith he loved us, he has what? He has raised us together with Christ. Because he has said that earlier. If you have prayed that prayer in chapter 1, you see this one in chapter 2. Together. Why together? Because by giving everything he did to you, that means what happened to him happened to you. He quickened us together and made us sit together in the heavenly places or in heavenlies in Christ. So as we see Christ, we have to see his church. Because without his church, he did nothing special. He just glorified himself. Without his church, he just rose up. And that was it. We need to see his church. And you see his church by seeing what he has done.
raised together. Hebrews 1, the writer of Hebrews. Quickly look at that. Let's run. You learning something? Hebrews 1, writer of Hebrews. He says in verse 5, he's talking about the Father. And then he says in verse 5, Hebrews chapter 1. He says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. Then he says in verse 6, when he brings the first begotten into the world. The word first begotten means a model son. One that will model others. That's why chapter 2, quickly, come on, chapter 2. Because we're talking about his death. Chapter 2 now. In his death, what happened? In verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Can we take verse 10 together? Come on, let's go. For it became him. In bringing what? Many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Let's take verse 11 together. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified, they are all of one. For which cause? Glory, 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 glory. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm leaving out Paul tonight. The writer of Hebrews says, in his resurrection, we must see a family. Who else said this? See what Peter also said. First Peter chapter 2. We must see a family. And I'm here to speak to many people. And I'll say this. Never let your experience change your knowledge. Let your knowledge change your experience. I'm speaking to many who have changed their stance on the Word of God because of their experiences. You must allow your experiences to line up with the Word. Stay in faith. Allow your experiences line up with the Word. Many of us have abandoned divine healing because of our experiences. We abandoned the supplies of God because of our experiences. We've abandoned the leading of the Spirit, the ministry of angels, because of our experiences. We've abandoned that bold confession who make about who we are in Christ because of our experiences. Never allow your experience dictate your theology. Your theology must change your experiences. Are you still there? Look at Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 5. I'll start from 4. To whom coming? As unto a living stone that's allowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. He calls Jesus a living stone. You know, the writer of Hebrews called Jesus a son. And he calls us sons. Are you there? Paul says we are raised together. Now look at Peter. He calls Jesus a living stone. Then the next verse, verse 5. You also, hallelujah. Don't mind King James. It's the same word. As living stones. In his resurrection, we took on the image of the Son. Not the Son in the four Gospels, but the Son in his resurrection. John puts it like this. As he is, 1 John 4:17, so are we. Not in the world to come, he says in this world. See, as he is, so am I. See how you said it so low, like you were forcing yourself to believe it. Say, as he is,
as he is,
so am I.
So am I.
Say, I am a living stone.
I am a living stone.
Set that and you go. Like a living stone. Say, I'm a living stone.
I'm
alive in him. Glory to God. As he is, so am I. Glory, glory. So all that Christ did was for us. His incarnation was for us. His healing ministry was for us.
His death was for us.
Therefore, his burial was for us. His resurrection was for us. Let me begin to close from here. His resurrection was ours. Hear this. That means that his life, or let me put it like this, his death is a gift to us. His burial is a gift. His resurrection is a gift. Now let me quickly mention this and I wrap up tonight. Hallelujah. His ascension. I've explained to you. There's a distinction between his resurrection and his ascension. His resurrection was captured by eyewitness. His ascension is only known by revelation. In his resurrection, they touched his body. They felt his presence. They saw him. It was a physical bodily resurrection. But his ascension is what we are learning in John 14:2. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I know so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you will be also. Say, I go to my Father. In John 20:17, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus and then she said, Master, Rabboni. Said, don't touch me. I ascend to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. That wasn't the resurrection. That's the ascension. And when human beings talk of ascension, they go high. When God spoke about ascension, he came in. The ascension is that indwelling of Christ. That's how he was glorified. So while the four gospels focused on that resurrection and they saw it, they ate with him. The epistles focused on the ascension. The ascension is where he is now. He's in the believer. He ascended to the right hand of the Father by the indwelling of the Spirit. We'll explore more of that tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. And I know when you leave this camp meeting, a whole lot about you will have changed. Your heart will burn with flames, the flames of the Holy Ghost. Your ministry will burn with flames. Your eyes will burn with flames. Your words will burn with flames. Your hands burn with flames. You will touch the dead, they'll come back to life. They'll come back to life. You touch a dead part of a man's body, it will live again. Because you contact dead things and they come back to life. You contact diseased things and they receive life. Someone is living in you that will never be distinguished from you. The more you know him, the more you know him, and know him, and then know you. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So therefore, for the believer too, when I know him, I say, flesh and blood did not reveal this to me. That's why Paul would say, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh. Right now we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. That man is a new creature. His old things are passed away. Because before then he talked about condemnation. He talked about death and the old covenant. He said they are passed away. Many folks thought he was talking about habits. No. It's spiritual growth that takes care of habits. What passed away is really who you are. Your habit is not you. It's your nature that is you. You're a new creature. When he said all things are passed away, all things have become new. He was doing a distinction between the covenant of the old and the new covenant. All things have become new. Hallelujah. And you see that by revelation. Glory to God. You want to sing a song? In the spirit of the Father tonight. Just sing that song. Go ahead. Put your hands and just sing a song tonight.